Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working from home on this pre-recorded program via remote. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, April 28, 2021. A known gunman raped and killed two women in Ayot Payam.
We are in a very terrible situation this morning. Some unmen suspected to be from neighboring county Yorul West came and found two women who were collecting water from a dug well and led them to bush, raped and shot them dead.
Aid agencies are asking the government of South Sudan to use small portion of its military budget to feed the hungry across the country.
The amount of funds and the resources that we have are small because nearly everybody is hungry. But then out of the very hungry, you are like giving food to only about 8 or 10%. In a village, you have about 90%.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Local leaders in Rumbek East County say an identified gunman suspected of being from Ural West County of Lek State raped and killed two women in Ayot Payam on Tuesday. Lek State authorities have sent a team of security personnel to the area to investigate the killings and apprehend possible suspects. For VOA News, William Sande Mabor reports from Rumbek Town.
Lek State Acting Information Minister William Koji Kirjok says authorities from Rumbek East and Yerul West counties are working together to investigate the killings of the two women in Ayot Payam.
This morning we got a call from Ayot Payam of Rumbek East County that there were two innocent women raped and being killed. And of course, Commissioner of Rumbek East, the Commissioner for Yerul West, they have joined operation on that situation this morning to make sure those who met that kind of act are immediately traced out.
Paramount Chief Matiang Dudmalwal says the two women, who were both breastfeeding mothers, had gone to collect water from a nearby well. He says the gunmen first asked for drinking water, after which they forcefully led the women to a nearby bush, where they were raped and killed.
We are in a very terrible situation this morning. Some unmen suspected to be from neighboring county Yorul West came and found two women who were collecting water from a dug well and led them to bush, raped and shot them dead. After the incident, the young girl who was following them, watching from a far distance, after they had finished, they killed them. Then the young girl ran to the neighboring houses and informed the people.
Malwal urged the affected communities not to launch revenge attacks and to allow the government to carry out its investigation. Kerjok also appealed to the Akot community to remain calm, saying the commissioners of Rumbek East and Yerul West counties are working to identify the killers and bring them to justice.
We are asking the community of Akot to be calm and let the government do its work. The two commissioners are active, and they must also find out what happened in that place, because between our court and Yerul West, there is issue has been there. The issue of criminal activity is being taking place there. Yes. But our surprise, why does it involve now the killing of innocent women who have nothing to do with the raiding, who have nothing to do with the revenge? You know, it is also very unfortunate.
Ding Mario, the Leg State Minister for Gender, Child and Social Welfare, called on authorities to track down and arrest the killers. She says she wonders how the children of the two slain mothers will survive.
I would like to condemn that one, because it is not the right time for women or children to lose our life from an unarmed man. That one is really bad in our nation, or in the United States especially. It's not good. I would like to say that let them be patient. The mothers, the two mothers, their life, and from the same family, they should take care of the small kids which have remained behind.
No suspects have been identified yet. It is not the first time women in Lagos State have been the victims of brutal attacks. Five women were killed in intercommunal violence in Shoaibet County last year, September. For VOA News, I am William Sande Mabur, reporting in Rumbek, Lagos State.
At least 48 agencies are calling on the South Sudan government to use a day's military spending to fight hunger in the country. According to a report released on Monday by a Swedish-based data research institute on arms and military expenditure, South Sudan spent $186 million on the military in 2020. For VOA News, Onan Walter Solomon reports from Juba.
A joint statement issued a week ago by the 48 agencies operating in South Sudan says they are constrained and unable to feed all the internally displaced persons and vulnerable population in the country due to funding shortages. The agencies are calling on the government to use a small portion of the money in its military budget to feed some of its hungry citizens. It is not clear how much South Sudan currently spends on military operations each day. In the fiscal year 2018-2019 budget, South Sudan allocated nearly 16 billion South Sudanese pounds to the security sector. South Sudan's military spends $509,589 each day, according to the latest report on arms and military expenditures by the Swedish-based Data Research Institute. Richard Ofondo, the Action Africa Help International Country Director for South Sudan, says that amount of money would feed many people.
The thing is that the proportion, the amount of funds and the resources that we have are small, because nearly everybody is hungry. But then out of the very hungry, you are like giving food to only about either 10%. In a village, you have about 90%. Then you're choosing 10%, and they are the ones you're giving food to. And you find that that itself can create conflict. Because then people, everybody is hungry. Whom do you choose from those who are hungry? And they say, this is the most hungry.
Government spokesperson Michael McQuay says, taking that amount of money out of the military budget to feed the hungry would, in his words, be surrendering the citizens to insecurity. McQuay says the government will respond to the appeal later when there is stability and the economic situation has improved.
Some of the convoys are intercepted by the rebels and they take food. What do we do then? Do you know how many will die if we give out one day expenditure? It is the citizen who will die. So our main concern is that you cannot reduce your military expenditure at the time when there is insecurity.
The UN and other aid agencies appealed last month for $1.7 billion in funding in order to deliver life-saving assistance and protection to some 6.6 million people. McQuay says conflict and violence disrupted the government's plan to produce food, which would have reduced citizens' dependency on aid. He says some of the 1,000 tractors the government bought were destroyed during the conflict.
We have enough rain, we have enough water, we have a big land, arable land, whereby everybody will be capable of producing his own food. But because of the insecurity, at times people are shot in their own farms. We are not against the spending on food. All that we can do is to provide local currency for items that we don't produce. But we are capable of producing our own food if we really decide to do so.
Information obtained by this program from Dr. Nan Tian, a senior researcher on arms and military expenditure at the Stockholm International Peace and Research Institute, shows South Sudan's military spending ranked fourth in the East African Community, or EAC, in 2019 with $186 million. Kenya topped the EAC list, spending more than $1 billion, followed by Uganda with $648 million and Tanzania with $619 million. Rwanda spent $124 million, while Burundi spent nearly $85 million. Dr. Tian says when looking at the EAC countries combined, all government spending on current military forces and activities, including salaries and benefits, operational expenses, arms and equipment purchases, military construction, research and development, and central administration, command and support, was 7.2% higher in 2019 than it was in 2010. In South Sudan, military spending decreased over the same period. For VOA News, I am Onan Walter Solomon in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, how is the situation in Chad affecting the neighboring countries? We have an answer for you right after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
is there something about yourself that you would like to change?
Definitely not. No, because at least I know my life has been good. I've not been entertaining bad company. So to change my life, I need to start making at least new friends again.
Life is all about learning. We learn every day. So in as much as we are still breathing, there are things we need to shed off.
Currently, I would like to change my tummy. I'm growing a pot belly. So I'm exercising. I've bought an abdomen machine that's helping me to deal with it. And I want to lose weight, probably 5-8 kilos.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Trade between Cameroon and its landlocked neighbor, Chad, has come to a virtual standstill, with Chad refusing entry to hundreds of trucks carrying essential supplies for its capital. Chadian military authorities sealed the border last week after the death of longtime President Idriss Deby amid threats from armed rebels. Moki Edwin Kinzika reports from the Cameroonian border town of Kosire.
Hundreds of trucks with goods meant for Chad's capital N'Djamena are sitting idle in Kuseri, a town on Cameroon's northern border with Chad. Another long line of trucks sits and waits on Chadian side of the border. Only a few vehicles said to be transporting humanitarian aid and hospital equipment are being given access to N'Djamena by Chad's border security men. Cameroon's Ministry of Transport says at least 700 trucks bound for Chad's capital have been asked to delay their trips. Nana Seni transports rice from Cameroon's coastal city of Douala to N'Djamena. He says movement between Kuseri and N'Djamena has been halted for about a week now.
Le décès du président chadien, que nous appelons ici Midi.
He says traders have been in pain and consternation since last week's death of Idriss Deby. When Deby was alive, he says movement between Kuseri in northern Cameroon and Chad's capital was very fluid and business was thriving. He says Deby's death has brought enormous economic setbacks that may grow worse if the new government in Chad fails to open the border. Landlocked Chad relies on Cameroon for 80% of its imports, while Cameroon buys food staples such as sorghum, onions and groundnuts from Chad. Zachary Roger Mbarga is a researcher in regional integration and free trade in Central Africa. The University of Yaoundé researcher says Chad's military council is preoccupied over the security of the capital. He spoke via telephone from Douala.
Vous avez vu, le premier acte, c'est la fermeture des frontières, ce qui pose un problème pour les investissements.
He says by closing the border, Chad's Transitional Military Council is indicating that its immediate preoccupation is to stop rebels from advancing towards N'Djamena. He says the council wants to secure N'Djamena for the 18 months before examining if it can hand Chad to civilian rule. He says the border closure is already stifling economic liberty and the free movement of people and goods, which are not good signs for a country where people live in poverty. Marsa Success is a Chadian opposition leader. He says security will be threatened in Chad until the Transitional Military Council created after Deby's death, hands power to civilians. Massa spoke by telephone from Chad. He says it is high time Chad's military, the civil society and the rebels meet at a dialogue table and immediately hand power to civilian rule. He says Chadians are angry that after Deby's 30 years in power, the military unconstitutionally decided to hand Chad to General Mahamat Idris Deby, the 37-year-old son of the former leader. He says a majority of Chad citizens are disgruntled with the confiscation of power by Deby and his family. He says civilians are ready to sacrifice to free their country even if they go hungry because of the border closure. On Sunday, Chad's ruling military council, in a statement read on state TV, said it will not negotiate with rebels whom they accuse of killing Deby. The military said Mahamat Mahdi Ali, the leader of the rebels, known as the Front for Change and Concord in Chad, had fled into Niger and asked its neighbor to help track Ali down. The council has promised to fully reopen the border in the days ahead if the security situation improves. Moki Edwin Kinzuka for VOA News, Kuseri, Northern Cameroon.
The footwear industry is one of the fastest emerging business opportunities in Africa. Footwear analysts say the continent is a node with raw materials, impressive talent, and affordable labor, giving it the edge to build a multi-billion dollar industry. For more perspective, Africa's 54 technology correspondent Paul Ndiho via Skype spoke to Chidinima Imodi Chukwuemeka, co-founder of the Footwear Academy in Aba State, Nigeria.
Okay, the Footwear Academy is a hub here in Abia State, Aba. We help young people to produce export standard footwear products. We offer trainings. We have a shared / co-working space for shoemakers, and we help them access like affordable raw materials and machines, and also to offer job matching opportunities for shoemakers. Yeah.
How did you get started?
We got started in 2017. We wanted to formalize the footwear training system here in Nigeria. Usually, people would learn shoemaking through the apprenticeship system. So you would find like a shoemaker and go through an apprenticeship system that would typically last for like 5 to 10 years. And the unfortunate thing about it was that it mostly excluded women. So women couldn't access shoemaking, and it was something that we wanted to correct. We wanted to make people, especially young people, find the vocation interesting. We wanted to offer like a support system to enable them to learn, not only learn, to also earn as shoemakers. And I wanted more women to be included in the industry here in Nigeria. We took the shoemaking, we made it easier, we made it fun, made it easy and accessible to young people, especially women.
Talk to me about the process. How do you make these shoes?
So we manufacture our shoes ourselves. Under the academy, aside from the training that we offer, we also have like a brand name called Bold Step by TFA. Yes, so we buy our materials. We have some materials that are locally manufactured here. We have some of them that are imported from Europe. We make our shoes from scratch. Customers typically send us designs, and we produce that design.
What type of shoes do you make?
We make dress shoes, some casual, but most of our Bold Step is actually a men fashion brand. So we make up mostly men dress shoes and a bit of casual shoes.
The footwear industry is dominated by a lot of men. As a young person, a young woman in this business, how has it been like for you?
It has its ups and downs. It wasn't easy. It's still not easy because, even in the association that you have to join, they are Muslim men, and there's not a lot of acceptance of a woman coming in as a shoemaker. So even though that has changed in recent times, but it also helps that I'm also in business with my husband, who's also my co-founder. So in situations where I would have faced, if I'm being discriminated, you know, we would position him to, you know, handle that situation, which is really unfortunate and sad, but, you know, we just have to find a way to still do business. So that's what has helped us really.
When I was doing my research about you, I learned that you are one of those very few people who are giving the men that you're talking about a run for their money. What is it that you're doing differently? What's so unique about your products?
Our products are really, you know, well done. We consider a lot of factors before producing a pair of shoes. We'd rather trash a pair of shoes than ship it off to a customer if it's top standard. So we put in a lot of work because in Nigeria, we used to have, Abba used to be known for substandard products. So people would naturally say, oh, it's from Abba. And then people would think, oh, okay, that's like, that means it's substandard. So when we moved here in 2018, we started changing the narrative. So we produce our shoes, we market it and say it's made in Abba. And then people look at it and be like, wow, this was made not only in Nigeria, it was made in Abba. So we use the hashtag, because the competition we won from Ford Foundation is called Proudly Made in Abba Hackathon. And so when we moved here, we started marketing our shoes as Proudly Made in Abba.
Somalia remains on the edge after soldiers exchanged gunfire in the streets of the capital Mogadishu over the weekend in a sign of deepening splits in the security forces between those supporting an extension of Mohamed Abdullahi Mohamed's presidential term and those opposed. Soraya Ali of Reuters reports.
Soldiers exchanged gunfire in the streets of Somalia's capital Mogadishu as crowds of people gathered. The country is split between those supporting President Mohamed Abdullahi Mohamed's extension for another term and those opposed to it. Meanwhile, former President Hassan Sheikh Mohamud said on Sunday that soldiers attacked his residence and that the current president was responsible. President Mohamed, known locally as Farmajo, signed a law in mid-April extending his mandate for 2 years. That stoked opposition inside Somalia and put him on a collision course with Western donors. Earlier, Reuters witnesses heard gunshots in the capital as residents reported clashes between opposing factions in the security forces. A Reuters witness saw four military vehicles positioned in one place in Fagah. The forces in the vehicles came from the Abgal clans and are loyal to Sane Abdulle, a military commander from the Hirshabelle area of central Somalia. Calls and text messages to the government spokesman went unanswered. Analysts say the divisions could distract Somalia's security forces from the fight against Al-Qaeda-linked Al-Shabaab insurgents in the Horn of Africa nation.
If there's any doubt that Ugandans can dance, this new clip from Kampala proudly proves they can. Music Time in Africa host Heather Maxwell speaks with musician and TV entertainment presenter Kitai Mwesi Hubbard, better known as Crystal Panda, in Kampala about his new video and the power of dance as an opportunity for young Ugandans.
Crystal Panda, how are you?
How you doing?
First of all, tell me your real name.
My real name is Chika Mwekapo.
Nice.
I'm a Muganda by tribe.
I want to get to your video, Gebilu Mabaye.
You know, Gebilu Mabaye.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so I love this video. First of all, what does it mean?
I did a song out of street slang, and Gebilu Mabaye, it's like when you have something you're doing and you have haters, so whatever you do hurts your haters. It's like, for example, I have this watch right here, and I'll be like, this is what hurts the haters. You get Gebilu Mabaye. We here in Uganda, most of the artists, mainly me, we love to use dance moves to promote our music videos.
I love the towels and slippers. Was that
yeah,
there?
Yeah.
It's the best.
That was my idea. Let me tell you something. Those kids, they are called Entebbe dancers. They come from Entebbe, a district here in Uganda called Entebbe.
Where are you guys? The background is really cool.
We were in the streets in the ghettos of Kamuchicha.
For those of you listening and watching, you're talking about suburbs, but we got to make sure we're talking about the city of Kampala.
There are very many guys who can dance, but what they do lack is the people who believe in them. I make sure every video I do, I get guys who have different styles. And trust me, these guys are really so creative. You should come to Uganda. We have so many creative guys right here.
What makes Ugandans such great dancers?
Every young person, they are looking for a chance to be seen. And one of the ways to be seen out there for you to be famous is dancing. You can't do a talent show in a school and you don't get like 10 dance groups in a school. Maybe in 10 years from now, you may find that in Uganda there are so many dances more than artists.
You do a lot more than just music and making great music videos and dance tunes. What is next for you?
I'm planning on doing so many events for young people that can bring them together. Because me as a person, I want to be known as an artist to give a hand to the young guys who are talented, to the young artists, the young dancers. And I want to, you know, start up my record label, Panda.
Well, it was such a pleasure to talk to you and hear about you and, you know, a little bit more insight into your great music video.
Thank you so much. I can't thank you enough for all I can say. May you be blessed in everything you do. I look out for the music right here. Always follow our music because you're the one who's supposed to push the music up right there. Thank you so much. Crystal Panda, Queen and Angin Panda, Viviana, Bibamba, Bamba, 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 that's another bit. Choyna Mania, Panda, Choyna Mania, yes, sir. Choyna Mania.
That's our show for this Wednesday. Let's know what you think about this program. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. We'll air your comments every Friday. We now leave you with more songs by Christo Panda. This one is entitled Choina Omanya. Baby now food on one Sheba Crystal Panda brand new remix. Tony no manya queen Sheba Panda lyrics. And the DJ can take a moment. I call baby Kolo can take a coolest. When Sheba remix the Crystal Panda to me answer you what to call a cheetah panda. Big up my baby we panga no me pasa. The order from above who are you under. Baby I gotta be wrong. To get it to go man love. Me can't get enough. Baby new goes and it below. Baby and the dance my love. Choi no manyo no tai na ya wea chama. Choi no manyo no kapa ya fiye ya wamba. Choi no manyo gwe. Choi no manyo gwe. Choi no manyo gwe. Gwe. Choi no manyo kapa ya fiye ya wamba. Ono mana tai na na wea chama. Choi no manyo mutima gwe ya wamba. Pita baby na kuro mana. Every time I say my letter dub. Osini samanyo ngembuzi mulav. Among the many you above. Wine for me and no order for my bow. Tita, we toba mukaya. Hands up, walaya believe. Bore to begi koli kona kameme. Stop, never. Ntwari da kameme. Aba singa nyo kachibalume. Shia mada mwe. Kamu wolo me. Dress so green in the susa. So fly, chida bounce up. Kwe, choi no manya kapo ya fea wamba. Ono mana taina. We've been listening to Christo Panda with the song Choino Omanya. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for being part of our evening. And remember to wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers, because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.